Good morning and welcome to chapel. My name is Quinn Kathrinberg, and I would like to open by reading a litany to honor women for today's NSWA chapel. We walk in the company of women who have gone before, mothers of the faith, both named and unnamed, testifying with ferocity and faith to the spirit of wisdom and healing. They are the judges, the prophets, the martyrs, the warriors, poets, lovers, and saints who are near to us in the shadows of awareness, in the crevices of memory, in the landscape of our dreams. We walk in the company of Deborah, who judged the Israelites with authority and strength. We walk in the company of Esther, who used her position as queen to ensure the welfare of her people. We walk in the company of you whose names have been lost and silenced, who kept and cradled the wisdom of the ages. We walk in the company of the women with the flow of blood who audaciously sought her healing and release. We walk in the company of Mary Magdalene, who wept at the empty tomb until the risen Christ appeared. We walk in the company of Phoebe, who led an early church to the Empire of Rome. We walk in the company of Perpetua of Carthage, whose witness in the 3rd century led to her martyrdom. We walk in the company of Julian of Norwich, who wed imagination and theology, proclaiming all shall be well. We walk in the company of Sojourner Truth, who stood against oppression, righteously declaring in 1852, "Ain't I a woman?" We walk in the company of Alice Walker, who named the lavender hue of womanish strength. We walk in the company of you, mothers of the faith, who teach us to resist evil with boldness, to lead with wisdom, and to heal. Amen. Again, welcome to chapel with Eastern Mennonite Student Women's Association.
Okay, so we're going to be singing two songs this morning, and the first is going to be God of the Bible, which is number 27 in Sing the Journey. Okay, and our second song is going to be number 397 in the hymnal worship book, but we're going to do something a little different with it this morning. We are going to sing the first verse as written in the hymnal, the second verse using female pronouns, so God wants you to come to her now, wants you as her child, and that'll be up on the screen, so you don't need to remember that. And the last verse will be using God and there.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. So we're going to share some poetry now and then some reflection on that spoken word. So I'll begin, and then we'll have Bethany and Hannah. Woman, I am. I learned the word in storytelling. Your great-grandma was the strongest woman, they would say, in circles, in summer, as the heat held us. My grandmother, adjusting her straw hat, kissing closed eyelids, would whisper things like, "You are loved." Searching, I would meet her middle with knobby knees and awkward arms. Bending into the curve of her chest, I'd hum to her heartbeat. The most resourceful woman is my mother, who taught me to eat cookie dough, tie loop-de-loop, and imagine with abandon. Pointing to letters, sounding out the universe, using curious fingertips. She would call me smart, and I believed her. She said I could be anyone. I wanted to be my mother. If I had a daughter, I would cradle her shell in my tenderness. Ballpoint pen in hand, I would scroll an atlas along her curves and angles. She would become inked and splattered, with wishes and kisses, a canvas of moments. I would hand off my paintbrush as if a baton, while throaty words would instruct, color outside the lines. You are creative, capable, a woman. A woman I am. So a reflection on MSWA is kind of hard for me. MSWA has been probably one of the best experiences of my college career, and I found it freshman year in a time that I was really searching and really needing a place to belong. And since then, it has just developed into so many things. It's been a safe place more than anything, and a group of women, and sometimes people who identify as men, but just a group to come and be themselves and to hear stories, to hold each other. So it's been really sacred space for me, and I've learned a lot from it.
Rachel shared about mothers. I'll be sharing about Mother Earth, and Bethany will be sharing about Mother God. I never needed the earth to be a mother until life chafed me, until love left me raw, until I realized that I was a child and that I needed to be cradled. Finally, crawling back into her arms, swathed by long grasses, she pushed my hair back with gentle winds, brushstrokes painting pale skin. In that meadow, I laid on her bosom. Quieted, I was sure I could hear her heartbeat. The slightest trickling of rain rested as dew, and during this time, I was being made new. I grew roots down deep. Flowers sprung from my scars. Moss filled my brokenness. Deeply loved, deeply connected, I was home. My creator, my mother, pulled me close and I nestled in the cleavage of her mountains. I never realized I needed the earth to be a mother until I realized that the world had polluted my universe, until I embarked on a homage and the only refuge I knew could exist was between thick, childbearing hills. No, I never needed the earth to be a mother until the healing that I needed was to be reborn. Do you have a space that you flee to? Throughout my childhood, I would routinely run to a meadow, one that was encased entirely by trees. And in these moments, I was escaping homework or simply the oppression of white walls. However, this act of retreat took on different significance for me over the period of my life when I was exposed to more suffering than I ever knew I could bear. When I felt as though I had heard more than I could bear, I was asked on a weekend getaway with a few women from the church. They were all in service professions, all working where there was great hurting. Eagerly, I agreed. Together, we ventured to a village called Machachi. One of the women, Daniela, excitedly told me that we were going to a meadow, one with a vantage point where you could see three volcanoes. We tumbled toward this meadow, slipping down steep banks, laughing outrageously, and when we arrived, we wordlessly scouted out a space with the most level ground. Daniela laid on her back, and I followed suit along with the other women. Feeling the dewy grass after months in a city awakened a portion of my soul that had been dormant. With my eyes open, I could see an intricate mess of canopy, wildflowers, and crazy vines. With my eyes closed, I felt as though I could hear the earth's heartbeat. I envisioned vines encircling my ribs, filling in where stories of violence had torn me apart. I knew that in this moment exactly, I was in the arms of Mother Earth. I was experiencing the most profound healing and restoration. I, along with all the other women, began to cry. Circling up, we gathered together, we held one another. We prayed loudly in Spanish and English. We cried until we laughed. And then we were still in awe of God, each other, and our earth. Mother Earth, as I have experienced her, is giant, restful, absorbent. I have heaved my anguished spirit into her, and she has kept it, folded it, and held me. And I have heaved my spirit and my burden onto other women, and I have experienced the same release and same profound comfort. I have felt pulled into mountains and pulled into arms, and I believe that this healing is uniquely and beautifully feminine. The opposite of violence is nurture. And each time that we pull another into our arms, onto our chest, we are enacting radical peace. We are realigning ourselves with nature. We are cultivating the world that Mother Earth desires. Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, sounds a lot like once upon a time to a woman who was born of a woman and learned how to be as a woman, despite living in a world and a religion created for men. There are 7 billion people in the world, which means there are 7 billion different worlds in the people, and my body was given the potential to make more, and if that's not godlike, I don't know what is. I open the book that is considered to be holy and wonder why there are 93 women in the entire text, 49 who are important enough to be given names, and they speak 14,056 words. I looked it up. 14,056 is 1.1% of the entire text, and I can't find a way to make my womanhood biblical with 1.1% in this book that is written by men for men to preach. Where is my womanhood that I know to be sacred and holy? I have no words to explain the lift in my chest cavity when my God becomes my mother, God. No words to grasp that my church didn't decide that women could stand behind the pulpit until just about the year I was born. And I have always assumed that that ability to share my heart was wanted and valued just as much as my brother's. And here I am, nestled in God's bosom, and she is holding me, and it feels right, and it feels good, and it feels God. I started attending MSWA freshman year after a friend introduced it to me as her church. What I've found is a circle of women that changes year to year, but always meets with the same intent, to create sacred spaces, cherishing one another as women, creating a place to just be. Places to be women, but places that being aware of our womanhood is not a survival mechanism, it's celebrated. So how has that affected my spiritual journey? About 5 years ago, when I first began to really think about what it meant to be a woman in the world, a white, middle-class woman living in a developed country, but a woman nonetheless, I began to notice just how many spaces were male spaces by default. And time and time again, I found those male spaces in the church. So I did something simple that you all did today. I started changing the pronouns in the hymns I sang. And it surprisingly made a world of difference, because I have a different sort of relationship with a feminine divinity. As the lyrics read in the song that was played when you walked in today, shout out to Goshen Women's Choir for their beautiful harmonies, I found God in myself, and I loved her fiercely. When God became my mother, I was no longer trying to create relationship with an old white bearded man in the clouds that had been featured in every of my Sunday school stories. I was naturally drawn to this earthy natural woman, one that I could see in the faces around me, gender aside. These days, I may sing he, I may sing she, I may sing God, but that fluidity draws me and allows me into a relationship with a relatable God, one who understands my sacred womanhood, and I am able to find God within myself more readily, and I love her fiercely. This is how MSWA has been a part of my spiritual journey, and I invite you to join us. Each year we are a different group of women, but each year we strive towards the same goals, to hold one another as sacred, to keep spaces set aside for women, to just be, although that being is everything. I found God in these women, and I love them fiercely.
May God the Word, who spoke creation into being, God the Spirit who brooded and still broods over the waters of deep, and God the Artist who shaped us in her image, may she grant us power to treasure and tend this beautiful garden of creation. Amen.